As a matter of review, I just have always said that we are victims of educational malpractice. We've been trained to believe that an anarchist is a bomb-throwing, vengeful assassin who doesn't believe in private property and seeks to foment chaos and riots and overthrow the government and leave us in a state of anarchy where everyone is his own god and we're all criminals. And yet, I think actually the better argument says that that is the exact opposite of an anarchist. That's an archist who does those things. In a state of anarchy, where we think of people setting police cars on fire and throwing bricks through the windows of businesses in protest of something or other, those are all people who are engaging in acts of terrorism, acts of force, initiating force and engaging in acts of violence in order to change people's opinions and impose their will on others by force. That's the definition of an archist, one who uses force to impose his will on others by force. Now, that third section, believing in private property, I just want to make sure that everyone realizes that if you've heard that I'm an anarchist and you've assumed, well, that means Kevin Craig doesn't believe in private property, that's just plain wrong. I do. And it's very important because the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. The Bible says we're servants and we're accountable to God for the way we exercise dominion over the earth, and we're accountable for the stewardship of our property. And ultimately, property is an individual kind of a thing. And collectivism is sort of the mark of archists, because archists, they're conquerors. They're not cooperators. And they use force, and if they can amplify their force by a collective order of some kind, they've found out that that's a good thing to do for them. But property is an individual thing because it's a matter of our stewardship with God. And it's important to think about the concept of calling in this regard, because if I have my property invested in ovens with which I bake bread, or if I'm a butcher or a candlestick maker, and I've invested my property in my tools for my business, it's because I believe that I have a calling, an occupation, a vocation. Those are all related words. Vocation, you see the relationship with the word vocal cords, for example. Calling. We have a divine calling. The Protestant reformers emphasized this idea of the priesthood of all believers, that every lawful calling is a divine calling. And it's just as significant in the eyes of God if we're a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker as you are if you're a priest or some other religious figure. And my property allows me to exercise dominion and to be a good steward of what God has given me, and that's how I'm a servant. Remember back to Mark 10, Jesus said, we're not to be archists, we're to be servants, and I serve others by the use of my property to help develop the wealth which will be traded and exchanged with others. Now, it's possible that if I wanted to work with other butchers or bakers or candlestick makers to create a large store or a large factory system, we can do that voluntarily. All the great moves forward in history, economically, have been done by private property, by people who took their property, combined it together in some way, a corporation, a business, a network, a nonprofit agency, an organization of some kind, that has given us computers and iPads, cars, planes, trains, even the pencil. We'll have a link there to the idea of the division of labor, and providence, the invisible hand of divine providence that brings us something simple and lowly as a pencil, but something that's actually quite amazing, because millions of people around the world work together collectively and harmoniously to produce a pencil. And there's no government department of pencils that it's overseeing this effort. It's people who are exercising their divine calling to do whatever they do, whether it's to make the paint or to harvest the wood, to saw the wood, to create the eraser, all the different components of the pencil coming from all around the world, all the trains and modes of transportation required to bring those different parts of the components of the pencil together. None of it overseen by governments and directed by central economic planners. All of it a matter of private property and individual callings that are working to help increase wealth for everybody. And what is accomplished for the pencil is accomplished for cars and iPads and computers and everything. And everything that human beings need to do can be accomplished when people sense, this is my divine calling, and I can work with other people who are called in the same way to accomplish this social purpose, this economic purpose. Private property is central to our advancement and in our wealth and our standard of living, and it's all destroyed It's never enhanced in the long term. It's always destroyed in the long term by archists. And whether it takes the form of socialism or fascism or crony capitalism or any of the different forms of archism, when we inject into a system of private property and an exercise of our calling under God, and we inject into that situation of peaceful harmony and cooperation the initiation of force in which people are compelled to do something that they don't feel is God's calling. That's why ultimately government regulation of the economy is a religious issue. Because 200 years ago, America's founding fathers had this sense of calling. They had a divine calling, and they believed that if you didn't teach a child a lawful calling, you were teaching him to be a thief. You were teaching him to be an archist. And so it's very important that we do what God tells us to do, how God created us to do. And when the archist steps into the picture and forces us to do something that God did not call us to do, he's forcing us to be unfaithful to God because we're not exercising our divine calling. Well, when we work together peacefully without archists, we achieve great benefits, we achieve great growth, and our economy prospers, our standard of living goes up. Every time the economist forces people to do something that's not their divine calling, redistributes property in a way that is not voluntary, in the long run, it hurts us all. It hurts the economy. We might think that in the short run, redistribution of wealth helps the poor or something like that, but it makes us all poorer in the long run. And the economist is one who concerns himself not just what is seen, but also with what is not seen. Not just the group that the government says, look at the benefits we conferred on this group by initiating force against people and compelling them against their will to do something to benefit this group. Yet that benefit to that one group is going to be outweighed by the disadvantage and the pain and the economic negative effects that will be felt by all the other groups. You won't see it because it's not publicized by the archists. And you might not see it because it may not happen for a few years. Government debt is something that's going to take, we're going to feel the effects, just like it took a while for us to feel the effects of government manipulation of the housing market. A lot of people profited. A lot of people thought, this is great. Look what the government's doing, propping up the prices of housing and making it possible for us to make money by flipping houses. Eventually, the whole thing crashed, and we lost more money than was gained. More money was lost than was gained. And that's always the way it works when archism enters a picture of private property, cooperation, and the division of labor, people exercising their divine callings. So it's important to understand that those who oppose archists are defending private property, and they're defending the great achievements that economic cooperation on a voluntary level under capitalism, under the free market system, not the compulsory market system, not central planning, the great advantages have been brought by voluntary cooperation and not by archists.